Let's take a look at the reason for evil in the world. We live in a fallen world, but don't blame God for evil. Evil exists because of sin. In other words, sin is rebelling against God, either knowingly or unknowingly. When we look at the world today, we can see a great deal wrong with it. There is evil in the world, obviously. There's poverty, there's disease, there's crime. Yet when God created the world, He said in the book of Genesis, it was very good. Now, what happened between God's creation and the reality of life today? We'll be taking a look at this today. Hello, this is Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth from Hyde Park, New York. And I'm your host, Dr. Vic Torres, pastor, teacher, and author. And I'll be presenting a series on Christ, Christians, and Christianity from a biblical perspective. And my focus will be on the love, the forgiveness, and acceptance found in Jesus Christ, which enables us to live victoriously in this life. In the creation of man, God gave mankind a unique characteristic that distinguishes mankind from all of the other creations. And that is the ability to recognize the difference between good and evil and to make a decision, free will. That's what the account of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden shows us. We get to choose our destiny, and we, as well as others, reap the consequences. Only human beings have a conscience, a moral compass, as it were, to guide us to do the right things, those things God intended to be a blessing for us. Instead, mankind has been bewitched by the tempter, Satan, to choose those things that seem pleasant to the eyes, pleasant to the flesh, and to make us wise, or the pride of life. This very strategy of Satan is the downfall of mankind, the reason that we live in a fallen world. Many will mistakenly try to blame God for evil in the world and say things like, "How can God allow this to happen?" when in fact God is not the cause of evil, because God is good. But at the same time, God will never violate your free will, because with it you can choose to love God and follow Him. However, your free will is a two-edged sword. It can cut both ways. You can choose to do right or choose to do wrong in God's eyes. There's an old expression from history, which is, we have met the enemy and they are ours. And this is a statement made by Commodore Oliver Perry after a naval battle when he defeated the British squadron in the Battle of Lake Erie in the War of 1812. That's it. He said, we have met the enemy and they are ours. The updated version, which was first used in a comic strip called Pogo by Walt Kelly in the 60s, was, we have met the enemy, and it is us. And this was referring to the turmoil caused by the Vietnam War. But the statement could easily be used to describe the human condition, our sin nature. Turmoil in the world is caused by people who do evil, and the consequences of that evil impacts innocent people too. Trusting in our own ability to make the right choices based upon emotions, personal experience, and wrong thinking very often lead to the wrong conclusions. All of this, when rolled up into a package, is what we mean when we see the scripture, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3:23. Technically, to sin means to fall short of the mark. God establishes the mark, and we miss it time and time again. Throughout the Old Testament of the Bible, God gives us over and over again examples of poverty, disease, and crime as the consequence of missing the mark. The root issue is that we rebel against anything that tries to guide or direct us, even if it's for our own good. See, the human nature wants to be in charge of their own destiny. A term that is used several times in the book of Judges is that they chose to do what was right in their own eyes. This is the central issue of life. So how do I choose what is right in God's eyes and reap the blessing instead of the curse? In my last post, Donna W. made a comment. The book of Proverbs in the Bible gives us the outcome of bad choices. We rebel because of our sin nature. Only accepting Christ can change that. In that comment reveals the truth that rebellion is part of our sin nature, and the only way to overcome this nature is to replace it with a new nature that only Jesus Christ can give, when we repent and believe in Him. The book of Proverbs is one of the five wisdom books in the Bible. There's Psalms, there's Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Job, and the Song of Solomon. Now, what's neat about the book of Proverbs is that there are 31 chapters in the book. Now, a really wise practice is to read a chapter of Proverbs each day of the month. And then when you get to the end of the month, you get to start all over again. Now, instruction for a successful life is what Proverbs is about. And for the sake of this post, I'm going to choose a relevant scripture, I believe, in Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 13. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. See, sometimes we have to walk by faith and not by sight. Because if we lean on our understanding only, then we're really going to miss the deeper things of God. And then verse 6 says, in all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall what? Direct your path. We can hear from God. God desires to speak to us. And when He speaks to us, He speaks health and goodness into our lives. Then verse 7 says, do not be wise in your own eyes. See, that's been the problem all along. Fear the Lord, be in awe of the Lord, and run from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones, good health. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruit of all your increase, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Speaking of the abundant life. Then he goes on in verse 11 to say, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. And then finally, 13, happy is the man who finds wisdom. You see, there really is tremendous instruction in the book of Proverbs. Important ways to navigate through life. But I don't want anyone to think that simply knowing what is right and wrong enables us to do the right and shun the wrong. Human history has shown that that's not the case. We need help. And because the struggle is spiritual, we need spiritual help. In 1 John 3:8, the writer says, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God, Jesus, was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. The works of the devil is to lead mankind into sin, away from God. Remember, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came to give life and life more abundantly. That was Romans 10. The spiritual battle is of course, in our minds, and we've talked about that before. 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Then it goes on to say, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And so what this verse is talking about is a spiritual battle that takes place between the ears. And the fact that we have accumulated habits and thoughts and wrong teachings, and as a result of that, we have to take every one of those thoughts that are contrary to what the Word says, that are contrary to what God says, contrary to what Jesus says, and we have to cast it down and replace it with the truth. And the Holy Spirit, I mean, one of His responsibilities is not only to be our comforter, but He is called the Spirit of Truth. He will lead us into truth. Now, to know Jesus is to trust Him. not only with your life, but for your life. Now, if you only know about Jesus, then you'll miss out on the work of the Holy Spirit in you. See, that's the difference between a personal relationship with Jesus and simply knowing about him. When I was in Pakistan a number of years ago, I got to spend some time with one of the imams of Islam there, and I was surprised at what he knew about Jesus. But see, he knew about him, but he didn't have the personal relationship. So anybody can know about him, but there's a difference. Knowing Jesus as a result of making a conscious decision to believe him and his teaching means that you are a new creation. The old has passed away. That's 2 Corinthians 5:17. Then the Apostle Paul says to the Philippians in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he, meaning God, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ, his return. So really, the question of the day is, do you know Jesus or do you just know about him? And if you only know about him, I'd encourage you to make that decision that will truly change your life and accept Jesus into your life. Realize that you've been on the wrong path, but now that you've turned around, that's what repentance is, you've turned around and you're walking towards him. Thanks for listening to Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth. And if you like our show and want to know more about us, please check out our website at PastorVicsNuggets.com, or you can just simply type in PastorVic.com. Anyway, have a blessed week. I hope this message was able to be of some help to you, and join us next time. So God bless you.